From Hollywood, our land be bright. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Our Land Be Bright is presented by the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States and is produced and transcribed in Hollywood.
This is Herbert Marshall, speaking from Hollywood. If ever a great war taught a great lesson, we have learned the value of air power to our national security. It was spelled in letters of fire across the skies of the world. Peace may be assured through support and development of the United Nations. We all hope for that consummation. Meanwhile, we are on our own. Relative security, as our leaders realize, must be founded on the strength to protect our shores, on land, on the sea, and in the air. An air force second to none will cost money, but it will not cost territory. It will not cost lives. Our greatest strength in the decade immediately before us will be security, and security with wings will command respect of all who watch for the weak spots in our armor. War planes must be kept modern at all times and in sufficient number to guarantee protection as well as a counteroffensive which could neutralize the forces of any aggressor. To such ends, the following program has been dedicated.
Thank you, Herbert Marshall. And now, here is the voice of the Veterans of Foreign Wars speaking from the nation's capital.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our scene is a busy hour in the newsroom of a Metropolitan Daily. It's near press time for the five-star edition. And
copy, boy.
Right here, sir.
Take these galley proofs into the managing editor. Tell him I'm holding them for his okay.
Right, sir.
City desk, Ryan speaking.
Hello, Chief. Got a murder story.
Yeah, who's the victim?
A fella named Nussbaum. Runs delicatessen store on 4th Street.
Hold it. Don't tell me. Jacob.
Yeah?
Murphy's on the phone. He's got a delicatessen story for you. Take it down, give it about 2 inches single for page 3. Hello? City desk. Yeah?
Okay, go ahead, too. Come in.
Mr. Parker, Mr. Ryan at the city desk told me to bring you these galley proofs. Says he's holding a story for your okay.
All right, son. Did he say who wrote it?
Well, the byline says Lester Warren.
Oh, yes, the columnist. Well, go get him. I suppose it's another one of those opinionated broadsides about air power.
Yes, sir, might be, all right. I wouldn't know, sir. I'll tell Mr. Warren to come right up, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Tom, the situation is serious. The president's budget cuts the Army and Air Corps about $500 million. It cuts the Navy $70 million. Trimming the air that way is particularly dangerous. And too few folks know about it. How many know, for instance, that we turned out 96,000 planes for the armed forces in 1945, and 2 years later, only 1,700? I just want the Air Corps to get a better break. Besides, the development of technical men is cheaper. It's an investment in the future of commercial aviation. Listen, Tom, no previous weapon in history has helped as much commercially as a plane. Don't you see? What? Well, sure, of course. All right, I'll meet you for dinner.
Mr. Warren.
Oh, it's you again. What is it now, another gripe from the city desk?
Well, I guess that's it, sir. Mr. Ryan had me take the galley proofs of your story into the boss's office, and now Mr. Parker says he wants to see you. I think he was beginning to get mad, sir.
Oh, I can't say I'm surprised. Thanks, anyway.
Yes, sir.
Here's that nickel I owe you for yesterday's coffee.
Huh? Oh, thanks.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Oh, I won't, sir.
Elevator. Going up.
Getting off at the boss's flower, Mr. Warren?
That's it, Jimmy. Maybe he's going to fire me.
Fire you, Mr. Warren? Lord of mercy, that should be too bad for the paper, wouldn't it?
Never mind the wisecracks, Jimmy. This time he may mean it.
Fifth floor, man's furnishings.
Love that man.
You sent for me, Mr. Parker?
Yes, Warden, I did. Grab yourself a chair. I have just been reading a galley on your column for tomorrow's paper. You know, Warren, we can't print that stuff.
But why not?
Why, it's against our editorial policy.
But, Mr. Parker...
Now, you listen to me, Warren, for a moment. We're running a conservative paper. It goes into the American home, and Americans are sick of war. All this pressure about heavier appropriations, hundreds of millions of dollars for preparedness. Why, that's just plain silly. We've just finished a war, or haven't you heard? The world has been bled white. It's time someone began thinking about peace, not war. About education, not guns. For Pete's sake, Warren, give our kids a chance to learn something about their own country instead of spending their time in foreign ports looking for somebody or something to shoot at. I'm against everything that's going to take the American boy out of school, away from his home and family life. That's what we must think and write about, family life, the stability of the home, and the sacredness of peace.
Mr. Parker, I'm in full sympathy with much that you say about the home and family life and peace.
Yeah.
But don't you see, those are exactly what we want to preserve.
No, Warren, you can't preserve peace by talking and planning for war. When a country is armed to the teeth, it's ready to fight. All it needs is a good excuse.
And that's final?
It is. Write something else. Your column for tomorrow is rejected.
Okay.
That's all, Warren.
There seemed to be no basis for agreement between Lester Warren, the columnist, and Jason Parker, the managing editor of his paper. Now, Warren couldn't afford to quit and didn't want to lose his job. But then, while talking over with his friend Tom Folger, the radio commentator, he began to realize there were some things, at times, that could even be more important. So, an hour later, over their dinner, Folger is saying...
Now listen here, fellow. We're both veterans of foreign wars, right? We've both been overseas. We know what war is. We don't want another one.
You're so right, Tom.
Okay. Now let me tell you what to do. This column is powerful stuff. It's bound to make a deep impression. And, well, I've got a daily spot on the air. Suppose you let me have it. I'll use it for my 6:15 broadcast. I won't use your name. I'll just let the facts speak for themselves. Then, well, if I'm fired, you're still clear, huh?
Man, you got yourself a deal. I'll be listening.
Station QQW, the voice of the metropolis. At the sound of the chime, it will be exactly 6:15, and time for Tom Folger's regular evening commentary on the news of the day. Take it, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's broadcast will be a departure from my usual discussions, for I want to bring an important message right into your home. I want to talk about air power, why we should be supreme in the skies. Nobody wants another war, but the only way we can be sure we won't have one is to be so strong in the air that no one will dare to attack us. There's a bill pending in Congress calling for appropriations, but not enough to give us that protection. We're living in an air age, yet our reasoning is still shackled by memory of past wars, of marching men with rifles and bayonets. True, we have the atomic bomb, but all the bombs in the world will be worthless to us unless we have the ability to deliver them when and where needed, should a potential enemy start looking for trouble. On first impression, you might say the chances of war are slight. The world is tired of fighting, and our possession of the A-bomb should make any aggressor wait before he takes on the United States. However, we can't be sure, and you know why. The world situation is dangerous, and our foreign policy is not running away from danger. This is not to criticize our foreign policy. We are definitely committed to helping Europe get back on its feet. But that, in itself, may lead to friction with other nations. So what we want is protection, and our military security is based on air power.
Research and development must be increased, and every dollar spent for the development of air power is a dollar spent for commercial aviation. Our air commerce should be improved. It relates to increased means of communication and is our hope for peace. There is no challenging naval power in the world today. The true threat to America is any means which might destroy our industries, as all the world knows. And their destruction, should there be a war, would come through missiles dropped from the skies that bend over us. Ladies and gentlemen, think of these things. Know that a veteran who resents war with all his being, and backed by bitter experience, has set these facts before you and asks you to write to your congressman. Tell him that American air supremacy in an air age is the world's strongest bid for peace. Thank you, and good evening.
You have just heard Tom Folger's evening feature.
City desk, Ryan speaking. Mr. Parker, yes, sir, good morning. Use it, okay. And you want to see Warren right away. Okay, sir, yes, sir. Copy, boy.
Coming up, sir.
Go get Warren and tell him the boss wants him right away and make it fast.
I'm there already, sir.
City desk. 1437 Norfolk Drive. A child run over. Okay, I'll have a man out there right away. Yeah, with an ambulance. City desk. Yeah.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Parker?
Yes, Warren. Sit down. Have a cigar?
Thank you, sir. Warren?
I've changed my mind. We're going to use that column.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Parker, but may I ask how come?
Oh, I just happened to hear a radio program last night that opened my eyes.
Was it Tom Folger?
Yeah. Never think of it was. Well, how did you know?
Oh, I heard him, too. Good, wasn't it?
Yes, he was. Now, if you could only write a column like that, you might rate a raise. Here, I'll give you a light for that cigar.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Parker, I thought you were going to fire me.
Yes, and I still think I will someday. Just to prove that a man can change his mind.
Boy, what a cigar.
This is Herbert Marshall again in Hollywood. Be listening again next week for another program in this Great Veterans of Foreign Wars radio series.
Our Land Be Bright is presented in the public interest by this station and hundreds of others from coast to coast and overseas in cooperation with the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Next week, and always, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.
This Veterans of Foreign Wars program was transcribed in Hollywood and Washington, and was produced by Robert J. Enders.